Hello and welcome to She Makes News. It's Friday, March 22nd. I'm your host, Kimberly Finesse, and this is your weekly wrap-up for regional women in Australia. The 2024 football and netball season is only weeks away, yet a netball team in rural Victoria are again without clean and hygienic change rooms for the season.
Our change rooms are a sheep pavilion, and they are infested with rats, mice, and mould. They don't have sanitary bins. There's no hot water to wash our hands. There's no showers. It's appearing like this is just okay, you know. We're just expected to use those facilities, and that makes me really, really angry.
Kyneton Football Netball Club director Lauren Savoia has been with the club for almost 15 years and said it's deeply disappointing to walk into the change rooms year on year without any improvements.
Yeah, I'm nearly 30 and I started playing at the club when I was 16 and it's definitely not changed within that time. To have to go into those sheds and be surrounded by the filth in there is, deeply disappointing. It makes me pretty angry and fired up.
New change rooms have been promised by government since 2022, but an objection lodged to parts of the plan has put progress on pause.
Look, we've got funding and that funding was announced in 2022. And at this point, the upgrade is still in a planning phase, which is absolutely fine. Full credit to the planning teams and the council and Netball Victoria for going through those plans and doing what they need to do. But there was, however, a complaint lodged regarding the removal of some trees, and that has definitely delayed the process as far as we're aware.
Netball is the number one female team sport in Australia, with more than 1 million people involved. However, that isn't making it any easier for Kyneton to recruit new players to the club.
I feel like the impact is quite huge, really, and really complex. I suppose other clubs dread coming to Kyneton due to the lack of facility. Females playing sport, it's a tough slog as it is in terms of numbers and participation. And, you know, that's what we're all about, is championing that and trying to get girls and women to participate. And this is a huge barrier to that. I don't like walking in there. I can't imagine being a brand new player to the area and walking in and seeing that.
This week in Parliament, Wendy Lovell, Liberal member for Northern Victoria, called on the government to provide funding for temporary female change rooms for netballers at Kyneton Football Netball Club. Lauren says they've been begging the council to provide temporary change rooms for some time, only to be told no.
Look, we are begging the council to provide some form of temporary change rooms for us until the upgrades can be completed. We have asked this of the council a number of times before, and the answer has always been no. We don't think this is good enough.
Health professionals working in the cosmetic industry are facing yet another round of advertising guidelines. Last week, the Therapeutic Goods Administration released new guidelines for the advertising of cosmetic injectables. Director of Cosmetic Solutions and registered nurse Chantelle Byers said the new TGA guidelines have come as a surprise, given the Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Agency released a new set of advertising rules in June last year. Operators can no longer say anything that may refer to the use of prescribed medications, for example, anti-wrinkle, dermal filler, or injectable, in their advertising.
Advertisers using prescription-only medications like anti-wrinkle or dermal fillers cannot refer to those terms anymore, which were initially the terms they gave us to use. And now we just have to say it's a consultation. So all we can promote is that we offer consultations. And the example they gave was Athletic can provide consultations about reducing wrinkles. The APRA guidelines, they gave us a little bit of time. TGA is saying they're not going to go out and punish us all overnight. You know, they obviously understand that there's some adjustments to be made. But yeah, it came as a bit of a shock. It was sort of out of nowhere. There was no warning about it. It was just released.
Chantelle says clients have been quick to notice the change.
I've had a few people, what do I book for? I went to book for my anti-wrinkle, but it's no longer there. You know, I can't find a cost on a service. How much is it? And I have to say, I cannot give you any of that information. You need to come in for a medical consultation to discuss these things. And I mean, that is a good thing in a way. It's getting people in to have the discussion first, not just coming in saying, oh, I want my lips filled. You know, they can actually, we can discuss options and find the most appropriate treatment. So, I mean, there are some benefits, but there's a lot of barriers.
Chantel says the new guidelines will have a considerable financial impact on her business, with all marketing collateral needing to be reviewed and, in some instances, reprinted.
Being able to attract and convert new patients into our practice is going to be tricky, especially when they can't see our work, they can't see our before and afters, they can't ask for prizes, they can't, you know, even with online booking, you know, what do I book for? Like, you know, I want my lip filler done, but they can't select that because we can't have that anymore. So there's that. All signage, brochures, business cards, websites, social media sites, signage for some businesses, you know, has to all be changed and overhauled because we can't have the word injectables. And even in business names, so business names that say injectables, you have to get a new trading name. It's going to be very, very expensive for a lot of people. And yeah, I feel it just confuses our consumers more. If they're looking for a cosmetic medical procedure, most people have already decided that's what they want to have done. Or if not, they want to have a consultation to see if it's right for them. But how do they know who offers it? Like, where do they go? And they can't see our past work to make sure it aligns with what their aesthetic goals are.
But Chantel's real concern is how this impacts consumers when shopping for a cosmetic procedure and the possibility of being attracted to services and results advertised by countries who operate largely unregulated.
Listen, I believe we definitely need regulations. We need to preserve the safety of medicine for the consumers and for us registered health practitioners. But when the regulations are so tight and inhibiting, I fear that consumers are still going to want to see the content and find out what their options are. But they're going to be looking for it and getting information from our colleagues in America, Europe, the UK, Asia, which are often very unregulated, if regulated at all. And they may be seeing, you know, really not achievable goals, or it may create unrealistic expectations for the patients. I felt, yeah, they need to see our work and understand what results are reasonably achievable.
The Reserve Bank of Australia this week announced they are holding the cash rate at 4.35%. Bendigo mortgage broker and director of Proactive Finance Group, Hayley De Jong, explains how the RBA uses the cash rate as a tool to control inflation.
The RBA are trying to get inflation under control. Inflation target is around 2 to 3%. And what that means is they do not want the cost of services or products to be increasing by 2 to 3% per year. It did get up to over 7%. We would have seen the cost of petrol, the cost of groceries have, you know, taken a real jump, which is putting a lot of pressure on household expenditure. So they're trying to bring that down. And the only tool that they really can use is increasing the cash rate. So mortgage rate goes up and mortgage repayments increase, which mean people aren't spending as much on these things.
While interest rates remain at 4.35%, consumers will continue to hold back on spending, with businesses likely to feel that pressure over the Easter holidays.
Business owners are greatly impacted by this because borrowers are not spending as much, so they're going to be feeling their sales are dropping. It also means that they're putting staff off, which we're seeing with the unemployment rate going up. So it's a really tough time for businesses at the moment. There was a comment yesterday from someone I know saying, have you seen the price of Easter eggs this year? So, which, you know, is another indicator of inflation. People are really conscious of how much money they're spending, and that's definitely going to have an impact on Easter. We'll still see lots of people out and about and doing things, but they might be a bit more conscious of how much they're spending on eggs and things and what activities they're actually doing over Easter.
So what should we be doing as the cash rate holds? Hayley suggests a proactive approach is essential for alleviating financial stress.
At the moment, they should be just getting the lowest rate they can possibly get. If they don't want to change banks, then contact your bank and see if they can drop your rate, or contact your mortgage broker and get some advice from them about what options they have to try and reduce their mortgage rate or repayments. There could be simple things that they can do if they're really struggling. They might be able to change it to extend the loan term or go interest only. There's a lot of things that a mortgage broker might be able to help them do to try and help relieve that pressure until those rates do start coming down, as long as it's within the best interest for the client.
Now let's dig into some headlines with award-winning app Grown Not Flown. It's like a farmer's market in your pocket. The Northern Territory finalists for this year's AgriFutures Rural Women's Award have been announced. Tanya Egerton, whose project is focused on expansion of the Remote Op Shop project with First Nations women in the Territory. Raylene Brown, whose project is focused on skill and micro-enterprise development on country with Central Australian women in the Indigenous bush foods industry. Rashida Khan, whose project is called Spilling the Tea, which is aimed at creating new ways for remote and rural Territorians to access mental health and wellbeing programs. And Rebecca Forrest, whose project Youth on Boards focuses on increasing participation of young Territorians on boards and decision-making forums. Bendigo's Holly Hayes is launching her debut memoir, Looking Forward, Looking Back. From humble beginnings to extraordinary adventures, Holly's memoir captures the essence of life's highs and lows. Farmworld is this weekend in Lardner Park, West Gippsland. According to locals, it's the only thing anyone talks about all this week. It's held over 3 days with up to 100 acres of exhibitor displays. Yakandanda Folk Festival is on this weekend. If you are visiting this historic town, make sure you step into Vivian Kate for some retail therapy, then pop next door to check out the most incredible custom hats by Feather and Drum. And if you are a pie lover, you won't want to skip a visit to Gumtree Pies. The Benalla Street Art Festival is on this weekend, featuring renowned and diverse artists from Australia, Europe, and the United States. In Tasmania, leading RAIN founder, Melissa Dunham, is hosting a sold-out one-day workshop designed for women ready to embrace their inner strength. With the help of her equine friends, Melissa empowers people and teams to realize their personal and collective potential. There is a wait list to join the next intake. And the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show is on right now. Two local florists, who we know very well, have won bronze in floral design for their displays in the historic Royal Exhibition Building. Congratulations to Pemberley of Malmesbury and the collaboration between Botany and this week's show sponsor, Grown Not Flown. That's your weekly wrap-up for Regional Women. You'll find links in our show notes for anything that's been mentioned. If you'd like to hear your news, share it with us on Instagram at shemakesnews or via email shemakesnews@gmail.com. Stay informed, stay connected, go and share this with a friend.